Hare Krishna. So today is the day when Srila Prabhupada left for America from Calcutta in 1965. Today is 22nd August. And Prabhupada reached America on 17th September. So, it's a very important day for us. It's very important day for the whole world. Because Prabhupada left for America, the whole world received Krishna consciousness. Had Srila Prabhupada not have gone, then what would have happened? We won't be at least here. I don't know about you, but I can say for myself, I wouldn't have been here. Meaning, we won't become Krishna conscious. So this is a good fortune that Srila Prabhupada created for the entire world. The other day, someone was asking me, like, Parikshit Maharaj knew the state of affairs in the age of Kali. Parikshit Maharaj knew what would happen due to the influence of Kali. Still, why didn't Parikshit Maharaj kill Kali? Because the responsibility of a king is to take care of the state of affairs in his kingdom or in the whole world. I mean, they wouldn't allow anything that can be so harmful for the world. And for a Kshatriya, killing is his business. A Kshatriya's business is to kill. Kill means those who are harmful to the society, the Kshatriya is meant to punish them. And the punishment can even go to the extent of capital punishment, killing. And the answer to that, according to the scripture, what I quoted to him, is that Parikshit Maharaj assessed the ill effects of Kali in this age and the good effects of Kali in this age. And what is the good effect of Kali? Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Parang Prajit. Just by chanting the holy name of the Lord in this age, due to the influence of Kali, by the way, it is all because Kali's arrangement, Kali's influence. The condition of the world will become so bad that Krishna will have to make some special arrangement. And that special arrangement in this emergency situation is just by chanting the holy name, one will become delivered from material bondage. Not only delivered, not only Mukta Sangha Parang Brajet, not only be delivered, but he'll get Krishna Prem. That hasn't been mentioned there, but Parikshit Maharaj knew that one can get Krishna Prem in this age due to the influence of the age. So that is the good fortune for this age of Kali. Now, who created this good fortune? Yes, Krishna came and created the good fortune through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not complete the mission. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually left his mission incomplete. That's why he predicted in every town and village. It will happen. He didn't do it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inundated the whole of India with Krishna consciousness. But he left it for Srila Prabhupada to fulfill that mission. To spread in every town and village would be accomplished through a very special devotee. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arranged. And we can see the amazing arrangement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inundated the whole world with Krishna consciousness. But then, Krishna consciousness disappeared. Mahaprabhu's teachings were lost completely. So much so that there was no trace of Mahaprabhu's teachings excepting some remote corners in Vrindavan and Navadvip, where some Bhajanandi Vaishnavas like Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj were practicing and sustaining Mahaprabhu's teachings. Otherwise Mahaprabhu's teachings were completely lost. Lost in such a way that cultured, educated, sophisticated individuals did not want to have anything to do with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What was going on in the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, that is due to the apasampradayas. These apasampradayas were claiming that they are the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were claiming, but what they were doing, in simple words, it can be said that Mahaprabhu's teachings are based on dharma. Dharma stands on four pillars: austerity, mercy, cleanliness, and truthfulness. And when dharma's pillars break, adharma's legs grow. What are those adharma's legs? Meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. Now, mind you, those people, these apasampradayas, in the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were introducing these four activities. Meat eating, if not so much meat eating, at least fish eating. Intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. So, in the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, when these activities go on, tell me who in his right frame of mind will want to follow that path. So, this is how Mahaprabhu's teachings and Mahaprabhu's dham disappeared from this planet. We have to understand that it was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrangement. Then came, or rather then, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his very special agent. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur revived Krishna consciousness from that very, very ominous situation. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, at that time, the condition, the situation was so critical that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was looking for a Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in the whole of Bengal, he couldn't find a single copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. He eventually found it in Odisha. Not a single copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur started to print these books describing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special activities and wonderful teachings and amazing gift to this world. This is how Bhaktivinoda Thakur started the revival work. And then came Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave Bhaktivinoda Thakur's blueprint, a shape. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave it in a theoretical state. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established it in a practical way. But he did it only throughout India. But his mission was to spread it all over the world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. And in order to fulfill that mission, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent a very special associate, and that is Srila Prabhupada. Krishna consciousness movement is meant to spread all over the world. And we saw how it happened. And we can also see that how, in an impossible way, this movement would spread. It's impossible. It's an impossible prediction. In every town and village, Krishna consciousness movement would spread. Who could believe that? They thought that these are just some lofty ideas and some fanciful dream. That Krishna consciousness, this movement, this Gaudiya Vaishnav culture will spread all over the world. Who knows? Who thinks that Indian philosophy, Indian culture, Indian spiritualism has any credibility? That time, mind you. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur started, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was spreading Krishna consciousness, when Prabhupada was preparing himself to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, India was the British, under British control. India was a British colony. And in a colony, they are not given any respect. They don't give any respect to the culture. We can see that. How badly Indian culture has been destroyed by the British. The Vedas and Puranas, Upanishads and Dharma Shastras, according to the British, they are mythology. Mythology. Srimad Bhagavatam is mythology. Mahabharata is a mythology. And even the Indians today are thinking that way. Now, mythology. They call it mythology. So, myth means what? Unreal, untrue. So, to begin with, they have been indoctrinated with this concept that it's all myth. These are all fairy tales. But it is Bhaktivinoda Thakur who actually started that mission. And mind you, in as early as in 1894, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is writing in his Bhagavat and the lives and precepts of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's saying that this teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will spread all over the world. He is reiterating that prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It will happen. When India was totally under British domination, Krishna consciousness movement would spread all over the world. When Christianity was practically engulfing the whole world, he is saying Krishna consciousness was going to spread all over the world, and all the religions of the world will come under the banner of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings and will become unified. All the religions of the world will become unified in this way, under the banner, under the umbrella of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. And that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is doing, isn't it? Like, don't we see in ISKCON? Hindus are coming, Christians are coming, Muslims are coming, Jews are coming. So they all are being perfectly harmonized in Mahaprabhu's teachings. Prabhupada also said, sometimes some Christian priests encountered Srila Prabhupada in New York and asked him, why are you making the Christians into Hindus? Why are you converting the Christians into Hindus? Prabhupada said, no, I am not converting the Christians into Hindus or Jews into Muslims. I am simply making better Christians out of the Christians. Better Jews out of the Jews. Better Muslims out of the Muslims, and better Hindus out of the Hindus. At least we Hindus know that today we have become real Hindus. Isn't it? Previously, we are just a bunch of hodgepodge. We didn't know what Hinduism meant. Sometimes we used to even say that Hindus are a bunch of people, those who don't have any religion. Muslims have their religions, Christians have their religions, Jews have their religion. But Hindus, no religion. We are jato mat tato pat. Khichdi. But Prabhupada pointed out what real Hinduism means. Real Hinduism means the religious concept that is founded on the on the teachings of the Vedas. That's the most lofty, the highest spiritual concept, the most perfect scientific understanding of spiritual reality, the most scientific understanding about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the most scientific process to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is what Krishna consciousness is. So Krishna consciousness is the ultimate perfection of all religious concepts. And that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur was pointing out at that time. That all the religions of this world will come and become unified under the umbrella of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. So in this way we can see that this is a divine arrangement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, first of all, he made his teachings disappear so that people can get a clear understanding about the revival of this movement. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur came and started the revival work. Then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came and gave the shape. And Srila Prabhupada took that shape and distributed it all over the world. So these three personalities are actually in a perfect order, in a perfect serial order. Therefore we can see that Prabhupada's appearance is the one of the most amazing benediction that this world has received. And Prabhupada's going to America and starting the movement is the ultimate culmination of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's plan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrangement. Also another important thing to notice here is that Srila Prabhupada actually went to America at a very old age. At the age of 70, Srila Prabhupada went to America. Now, like Prabhupada is actually establishing a movement that will stay there, stay on this planet for thousands of years, completely revolutionizing the spiritual concept of this world. But Prabhupada started the movement at an old age and gave it a perfect shape within just 10 years' time. Spread it all over the world in 10 years' time. Now doesn't it clearly indicate that Prabhupada was actually functioning under Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's divine arrangement? Otherwise how can such a thing happen in 10 years' time? In the history of this world, a thing like this never has happened. What to speak of religious concept. Nothing actually happens in this way in the history of this world. 10 years' time, the religion, this Krishna consciousness movement spread all over the world. Yes, it didn't spread all over the world in every town and village. But doesn't this give us an impression or a very clear concept that it will happen? If what Prabhupada did in 10 years' time, that is a perfect miracle. That's not only a perfect miracle, it's a perfect happening. The perfect happening. And it's an amazing achievement. So what is going to happen to the world? Yes, every town and village. If it could spread all over the world in 10 years' time, it is bound to happen in every town and village in due course of time. And just as Bhaktivinoda Thakur had implicit faith in the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had implicit faith in this prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just as Srila Prabhupada had implicit faith in this prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, those who believe in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, those who believe that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will have implicit faith in this statement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is a consideration of to what extent we believe that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who don't believe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead will have doubts about this happening. But if we believe that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then immediate consideration is, will the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead go in vain? So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said every town and village is bound to happen, every town and village, nothing less than that, every town and village, maybe even in the forest, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had shown that. He made the animals in the forest dance in ecstasy. But those who don't have faith, they will have doubt. Oh, how can this happen? And that's why we see that others couldn't make it happen. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada made it happen. And from that we can see what kind of faith they had in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's words. So this is Srila Prabhupada. And we are so fortunate that somehow or other we have become connected to Srila Prabhupada. We don't know how, but somehow or other it happened. But in whichever way it happened, it's all auspicious for us. And we can see like what Srila Prabhupada did. Srila Prabhupada was a 26-year-old man, very successful individual. At that age, he was a manager of a company. A pharmaceutical company. Those days there were just a handful of pharmaceutical companies, at least in Calcutta. I don't know whether there was any pharmaceutical company anywhere else in India. Probably it started only in Calcutta. There was one pharmaceutical company called Days Medical. No, I'm sorry, no. Bengal Chemical was the first one established by a scientist. He was a very famous scientist. Some Banerjee. Jagadish Bose was a very famous scientist of that time. And this other person was also. And he set up Bengal Chemical. And then this Dr. Kartik Bose established this Dr. Day's laboratory. Dr. Bose's laboratory. Prabhupada was there. He was Kartik Bose. So, and Prabhupada was the manager of that company at the age of 26. And he was married. He had a son. Nicely situated in his family life. But when he met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, what did Prabhupada do? He quit his job. Such a coveted position. But he went and gave resignation. Dr. Bose was Prabhupada's father's friend. And he used to treat Prabhupada as his own son. So he asked why he was resigning. And Prabhupada said that he met a sadhu. And this sadhu gave him some instruction to spread Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings all over the world. And that's why he is quitting. So he said, fine, you met a sadhu, you've been impressed by him. It's all very good, but why do you have to quit your job? He said, when I have my job, then my time is sold out to you. When you pay me salary, and that means my time is sold out to you. So I won't have any time to work for this sadhu's mission. So they had a big debate on that. Dr. Bose told him that when a son joins his father's company, he doesn't become an employee of the father's company. He simply assists the father in his father's business. So why do you think that you are an employee? You are actually my man. You're like my son. But Prabhupada was completely adamant. So then finally Dr. Bose told him that then why don't you take up the agency, soul-selling agency of this company for North India. So Prabhupada accepted that idea. And he went to Allahabad, set up his establishment there, business there. Prabhupada, I heard it from Prabhupada himself at one time. Prabhupada was narrating it to one of his old acquaintances. And I happened to be there at that time. And Prabhupada was telling him that at that time I thought that running my business I'll make a lot of money, and with that money I'll go to the West and spread Krishna consciousness. Or rather, fulfill the instruction of my spiritual master. But unfortunately, I was not successful in my business. Prabhupada thought that he'll make a lot of money from his business and then he'll go to the West. But it didn't happen that way. And actually, once Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told Prabhupada that Prabhupada was telling that his business was not doing very well. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that in order to be successful in business, you have to love money. But you don't love money enough. Your love for money is not deep enough to be successful in business. And that was a very, very perfect assessment. Prabhupada himself told that his heart was not in his business. And people cheated him. His heart was not in business, and that's why his business was not successful. People are taking advantage of his niceness. And then Prabhupada was telling this gentleman, he was a very old man. He was a member of the Legislative Assembly in Bengal. He was, at that time, he was about 90 years old. Prabhupada was 82 and he was 90. And this man was a very, very famous Ayurvedic doctor. His name was Bimalananda Tarkatirtha. He came to Mayapur to treat Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes in the evenings they used to sit together and talk. And one day Prabhupada was talking to him, telling him about his own story, one life story. Prabhupada was telling that how he met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, how he became impressed with his, at the very first meeting, and just that one meeting was good enough for Prabhupada to quit everything. His job, his career, his family even, he neglected. Prabhupada admitted that. Because of this, he neglected his family. And then Prabhupada was telling him that eventually when Krishna sent him to America, he sent him as a pauper. And everything was arranged. Prabhupada went there practically with no money. He went with $6, and that also he didn't in cash. He didn't spend. So Prabhupada actually in this way was describing that how when he went to America, all kinds of amazing things started to happen. And also, considering the history of the world or history of America, we can see that that was such a special time for America and also for the world. America, after the Second World War, seen the height of material prosperity. Like in one hand, America achieved a height of material prosperity, but the youth of America became disillusioned. They saw that money cannot buy everything. They saw that what one needs is not money but love. And then as a result of that, a new movement started in America called the counterculture movement. Or popularly it was known as hippie movement. Hippie movement. The American youth turned against the American society. They revolted against the American society. You say money is everything. We say money is not at all important. They wanted to lead a life not depending upon money. And they left home, sleeping under a tree leading a life in search of love. Counterculture, positive alternative, these are the goals. The life based on love. And the perfection of their life that they wanted to achieve was based on two very wrong concepts. Drugs, LSD, and sex. So it is at that time that Srila Prabhupada went to America. And then Srila Prabhupada showed them what is the real counterculture. What is the real positive alternative? And Prabhupada showed them a life, no intoxication, no illicit sex. Whereas their whole purpose, whole mission was based on sex and drugs, Prabhupada came and gave them a culture which is diametrically opposed to that. No sex, no drugs. And they found that this is the real way to live. The real way to become happy is by following this path of Krishna consciousness. So this is how we can see that America also was perfectly ready to receive Srila Prabhupada. In a way we can consider, sometimes we consider also, had Srila Prabhupada have gone 10 years earlier, what would have happened? Or had Prabhupada had gone 15 years later, what would have happened? ISKCON wouldn't have been there. Krishna consciousness wouldn't have been spread in this way. Therefore, Prabhupada often used to tell that his disciples had been sent by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent them, these young American boys and girls, to assist him in his mission, in their mission. So we can see that how it's happening due to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's divine arrangement. Now, for how long should I continue? Unlimited time. Today we are in another dimension. Beyond space and time. Okay, very good. Now we can see, although I'm sure most of you know how Srila Prabhupada went, but still it's always nice to reiterate, recollect those incidents in Srila Prabhupada's life. Srila Prabhupada actually did not have any base. Prabhupada did not have any success in this way because already Gaudiya Math practically disintegrated. And some individuals were some sannyasis had their math, had a few disciples, and they were just carrying on. But preaching actually stopped. That preaching means the worldwide preaching mission that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur envisaged, that was not there. Some ashrams, some maths, some founder acharya of some math was there. Just one math, but founder acharya. And they were doing some preaching, few disciples. Individually they may have been happy, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu obviously was not considering that to be his mission, his plan. Prabhupada's vision was very broad. Prabhupada could see that they were not successful in their preaching mission because they are not united. Sankirtan means united. Milit, bahubhir militva. But because they disintegrated, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, during his time, the whole mission of Gaudiya Math was united in one body. But after his disappearance, it disintegrated. Some moths were there, individual they were carrying on, but the real mission actually stopped, and Prabhupada could see that, and Prabhupada was trying to unify them. Prabhupada was trying to even assist them, but even that he did not get the opportunity. Whenever somebody would see that he was becoming very popular, he is becoming very powerful, they would politely ask him to leave. That was the reality at that time. Then eventually Prabhupada gave up his idea of working with them at that time. And Prabhupada just retired in Vrindavan. And he had a nice situation there in Vrindavan, staying at Radha Damodar temple, just next to Rupa Goswami's Bhajan Kutir Samadhi. But Prabhupada's mission was not just to stay in Vrindavan and retire. Although Prabhupada was quite in advanced age, but Prabhupada was writing and he was printing back to Godhead, going to Delhi, distribute them. In this way, he was trying to spread his preaching mission. Then when Prabhupada took sannyas, Prabhupada went to preach with some of his god brother's disciples, and then some people approached him for initiation. And Prabhupada said, okay, fine, I'll give you initiation. But the disciples of his god brother said, no, in our temple only Guru Maharaj gives initiation. The next morning Prabhupada left. Prabhupada saw that this, in this kind of narrow atmosphere, he won't be able to function. That is how Prabhupada was struggling at that time. But still he was carrying on, and he was thinking somehow or other to go to the West and do something. At that time there was one feeble opportunity to go to Japan, and Prabhupada considered going to Japan. Prabhupada's mood was, let me go anywhere outside of India. But unfortunately that prospect in Japan also did not happen, did not materialize. Then Prabhupada came in contact with Sumati Morarji. Prabhupada was in Bombay, and Prabhupada got to know Sumati Morarji. Prabhupada used to go to her house to read Bhagavatam to her. This is how he actually got to know her. She's a very important person. She was the chairperson of the Scindia Steamship Company. And Prabhupada made a request to her. Please, you have so many ships going to America. Make arrangement for me to go to America. And she told Prabhupada, Swamiji, these ships are cargo ships. These are not passenger ships. We send cargo. Prabhupada said, doesn't matter, any ship will do. Just let me go. Sumati Maharaj was completely opposed to the idea. She said, Swamiji, you are 69 years old. You're almost 70 years old. At this age, what will you go in America? Prabhupada told that, look, my Guru Maharaj asked me to go to America, go to the West and preach. At this very end of my life, I'm simply trying. All my life I tried to fulfill that instruction of my Guru Maharaj, but I didn't succeed. So at this very end of my life, I'm simply making an effort to go there and somehow fulfill that instruction he gave me. But Srimati Maharaji was completely opposed to the idea. She said, Swamiji, I can't let you go. You're 70 years old. And she even went to the extent of telling Prabhupada, who do you think will listen to you in America? Do you think the Americans are all waiting to listen to you? Prabhupada still insists, I don't know whether anyone will listen to me or not. All I want is to just, at the very end of my life, try to fulfill that instruction that Guru Maharaj gave me. Sumati Maharaj said that, look, Swamiji, in America you won't have anything to eat. You get only meat there. There's no vegetarian food there. What will you eat there? And the winter is so cold. Prabhupada kept on insisting. Then Sumati Maharaji told him, Swamiji, you are like my father. How can I let my 70-year-old father go to America all by himself? At that point, Prabhupada almost gave up the idea of any success. But intelligent as Prabhupada was, Prabhupada turned this around. He said, your father is making one very simple request to you. Won't you fulfill that request? Won't you let him go to America? All he wants is to just go to America, and all he's asking that you make an arrangement for his passage. It's my Guru Maharaj who wanted it, and that's why I'm willing, I'm trying to go there. So finally Sumati Maharaji complied. And she arranged for Prabhupada to go to America. And then we know what happened. Also, yeah, Prabhupada's going to America was not that easy. Almost a month-long ride, journey, over the ocean. And the voyage across the sea is very, very difficult. Last year, we had a cruise in a 5-star, you can say the arrangement was like a 5-star hotel in the middle of the ocean. And Radhanath Maharaj also was there. And one day Radhanath Maharaj and I was discussing that, you know, we are in this very, very luxurious, very fancy arrangement for 10 days, 9 days, and we are becoming sick. And Prabhupada went in a cargo ship across the Atlantic for a month. And on top of that, Prabhupada had 2 heart attacks. We can't even imagine what Prabhupada actually went through. 2 heart attacks and no medical treatment. Prabhupada didn't even know that he had a heart attack. Only later on he found out that it was what he had was a heart attack. And after that, Srila Prabhupada arrives in America. Prabhupada didn't even know where to go. Prabhupada didn't have any acquaintance there. Only one person, the son of an acquaintance in Mathura, who was in America, who sponsored Srila Prabhupada's visa for America. To get the visa, you need a sponsorship letter. So he just happened to send the letter and he thought that, well, that's it. He never expected that Prabhupada would show up in his house and also see the condition of that person. He was an Indian, Gopal Agarwal, but married to an American. So in that situation, to house one sadhu, but he was the only person Prabhupada could actually communicate with. So Prabhupada wrote to him on such and such date, by such and such ship, I'm arriving in America. And this Prabhupada wrote just a couple of days before he left for America. So after writing the letter, Prabhupada practically boarded the ship. So this person didn't have any opportunity to even write back to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada also did not have any opportunity to receive any letter response from him, whether he will kind of make any arrangement for him. So that in that situation, in such uncertainty, Prabhupada actually left for America. And in Prabhupada's own words, Prabhupada didn't know when the ship arrived in New York. Prabhupada didn't know whether to turn right or to left, which way to go. But this Gopal Agarwal, fortunately, was a nice person. So he saw that this elderly gentleman, elderly sadhu, is coming. He doesn't have any place to go to in America. So he arranged for Prabhupada. He arranged for someone to receive Srila Prabhupada. And this person made some arrangement for Prabhupada to come to his town. And he also was not living in New York or in a big city. He was living in a small little town called Butler in Pennsylvania. Practically in the middle of nowhere. Butler, Pennsylvania. So Prabhupada arrived there, stayed there, and he also put him up in, not in his house, which is understandable. He has an American wife and children, one daughter and one son. So housing sadhu will be difficult. So he made arrangement for Srila Prabhupada to stay in the YMCA. I don't know how the YMCA is in India. There are some YMCAs I've seen from outside. But in America, YMCA is the place for the people, those who don't have any means actually. Those who are simply depending upon the Christian charity. And so I made arrangement for Prabhupada. Anyway, at least he made some arrangement. And Prabhupada used to come to his house and cook himself. But in a few days' time, Prabhupada won everyone's heart. That was Prabhupada. Wherever he went, he won everyone's heart. Sally, this Gopal Agarwal's wife, she gave a vivid description of her, of Prabhupada's stay in her house during those days. And when Prabhupada was leaving, Prabhupada didn't go to stay in Butler, in a small little city, although they were making some arrangements for programs here and there for Prabhupada to speak. But Prabhupada's actual mission was much greater than that. Therefore, Prabhupada decided to move to New York. And when Prabhupada was leaving, just after about 2 weeks' stay in their house, Sally was literally crying. For an American woman to cry is not cry for somebody. Their tears are not so cheap. So Prabhupada left for America, left for New York. In New York also, Prabhupada have somehow made an acquaintance through some correspondence with one Dr. Mishra. Dr. Mishra was a medical doctor who went to America, but then he found that teaching yoga is a more lucrative occupation than medical occupation, treating patients. So, but he was, he gave up his medical career and he became some sort of a sadhu, a yoga teacher. Started his Ananda Ashram, And Prabhupada was staying with him, but he was a Mayavadi. Actually, most of the sadhus in India those days were Mayavadi. It's only ISKCON that is making personalists, even in India. Because I stay in Ujjain, where many, many sadhus come. You know, personally, sadhus are a very rare commodity. But due to ISKCON's influence, they're becoming personalists, they're becoming devotees. At least local people, as you are experiencing here also. Like, preaching has such amazing power. Like, so anyway, he was a Mayavadi, so Prabhupada was staying with him. And they developed some sort of friendship. And Dr. Mishra himself said, like, he was very sick when Prabhupada came. But just by eating prasad that Prabhupada used to cook, he got cured. So he developed some appreciation for Prabhupada. But then again, when he saw that his students were becoming more attracted to Prabhupada than him, so he did not like that. He didn't tell anything, but Prabhupada could sense it. So Prabhupada decided to leave. He rented a place, a room in Manhattan. But there also Prabhupada was having difficulties. So Prabhupada was looking for another place, and in the meantime, some young boys became attracted to Srila Prabhupada. And one of them was Michael Grant. And a few other, in that same group, there was another boy called David Allen. They're all young Americans, 20, 21 year old. David Allen was even younger, I think. He was only about 18 or 19. So, when Prabhupada told them that he was looking for a place, so they just told, well, there was a loft. Loft means, in America, many houses has this roof. And that area where the roof is, there's a platform, and which is used generally for storing things. So sometimes that area is made into a kind of a studio, meaning a place where one can stay with a little kitchen, with a little bathroom, but the whole area is open. They call them studio. So so they said that there was this area, the lofts are generally quite cheap because the facilities are not that fancy like an apartment. So they said that one of the boys was leaving for West Coast, and he has the loft. He had the loft, but he gave that loft out to David, this boy David Allen. So they said, okay, we will speak to David whether he would share the loft with you. Because it's quite a large space. So David Allen agreed. Prabhupada moved into that house. Initially, David Allen was very, very receptive and taking to Prabhupada's teachings. Prabhupada also wrote to one of his godbrothers about David, and he felt that David would be his first American disciple. But unfortunately, this David Allen went back to bad association and he started to take drugs. And this made him more and more distant from Srila Prabhupada. So much so that he started to argue with Srila Prabhupada, quarrel with Srila Prabhupada. And one day when David Allen was tripping in LSD, he attacked Srila Prabhupada. And so Prabhupada just ran down the stairs, came onto the road. No place to... He has been driven out of the place, the only place he had in America. I mean, it's so painful even to think of it. Can you imagine just a 70-year-old man, a pure devotee of the Lord, is going through these tribulations? But at the same time, Krishna made arrangements also. Prabhupada once said that Krishna always took care of him. Krishna made a beautiful arrangement. One of the boys who was very, very receptive, very kind, very gentle, was Michael Grant. So Prabhupada phoned Michael Grant and told him what happened. So Michael could not accommodate Prabhupada in his place, so he said, Swamiji, you just wait for a while, let us see what I can arrange. So he called one of his friends, and he made arrangement for Prabhupada to stay in his house. So Prabhupada stayed there for a while. Now consider the situation. This young man is living with his girlfriend, unmarried girlfriend. They had a cat in the house. And obviously, they were not vegetarians. But Prabhupada tolerated that. Prabhupada stayed there with them. But fortunately, Michael Grant was there. And Michael Grant could understand Prabhupada's needs. So he arranged, he rented a storefront for Srila Prabhupada. And that is the famous 26 Second Avenue, where the ISKCON movement actually started. And behind that storefront, there was an apartment on the first floor where Srila Prabhupada was staying. And that is how it all started. Prabhupada used to give classes. This storefront used to be a curio shop before. And the name was Matchless Gift. Seeing that, Prabhupada didn't change it. Prabhupada said, let it be there. Because what Prabhupada came to give was only that, the matchless gift. Prabhupada would give classes in the evening. And some of the young boys and girls would come. They were not so much interested in the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. But what they liked is the music that Swami made. And what they liked is the Swami. That was Prabhupada's most priceless, most precious asset. Prabhupada's himself. Whoever came in contact with Srila Prabhupada couldn't help but fall in love with him. And that's what happened with all these young boys and girls. They fell in love with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada also, we put it this way, they didn't fall in love with Srila Prabhupada. They responded to the love that Prabhupada offered them. They were searching for love and they found it finally. They knew money cannot buy love. But finally they found what love is. That's why when Prabhupada started, one of the first things that Prabhupada started was the Sunday Love Feast. Love Feast. And this was indeed an expression of Prabhupada's love for them. Prabhupada saw that these young boys and girls liked his cooking. Somebody, when he took some prasad cooked by Srila Prabhupada, just went wild and went and told everybody, Swamiji's cooking is out of this world. And then they came, Swamiji, you cooked for him and you invited him, you are not inviting us. So Prabhupada said, okay, next Sunday. So that's how the Sunday feast actually started. And how would Prabhupada do that? Prabhupada would go in the morning. Prabhupada would go to the Chinatown. Chinatown was next to the Lower East Side, 26 Second Avenue. Prabhupada used to walk. And in Chinatown you get various types of vegetables and they were quite cheap. They're much cheaper than buying from a store. So Prabhupada used to buy things from Chinatown. He would bring the bhoga, he cut them, dress them, cook them. And then these boys and girls would come and they would have a kirtan and they would have prasad. The only thing they would do is they would serve the prasad. But after they would take the prasad, they would all leave. The generally young Americans, they were not so sensitive like about what needs to be done. Their life often is quite mechanical and they didn't consider that they're leaving the place unkempt. The whole kitchen is full of utensils that needs to be washed. And Prabhupada alone had to do all that. After they ate and left, Prabhupada used to wash the pots. So this is how Prabhupada actually took care of these or responded to these young boys and girls. And that's why they loved when they saw how much Prabhupada was caring for them. They also responded. And then Prabhupada decided to start an institution. One devotee, meaning one of the followers of Srila Prabhupada, young followers, knew a lawyer. So he asked the lawyer to come and incorporate the society to be registered. So the 2-3 boys, they were there, they became the witness, and the charter was drawn. And Prabhupada named this institution as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So they had their reservations, International Society. And it's quite a bold naming of the institution. A small little storefront in New York. Just a few people following, and the name is International Society. Anyway, they didn't mind that so much. But what really was pricking them was Krishna consciousness. So they said, Swamiji, rather call it God consciousness. The lawyer also said, yes, I think that will be appropriate. Prabhupada said, no, Krishna consciousness. But Swamiji, nobody knows who Krishna is. Prabhupada said, I have come here to let the world know that Krishna is God. So we can see how, what a foresight and what conviction Srila Prabhupada had. So he started this institution, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Then Prabhupada held the initiation, first initiation. Those who were coming to him. And many of them were actually very naive young Americans. Just got exposed to Krishna consciousness. But Prabhupada gave them initiation. And he performed a fire sacrifice. And when people saw that the smoke coming out of the window, they thought that the house is on fire. They called the fire brigade. So all that Prabhupada was doing in America was absolutely new to them. And this is how Prabhupada actually started the revolution. Janataagha Biplava. The Biplava, that revolution that will sweep this world. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then the devotees got married. I'm sorry. Devotees got initiated. Then Prabhupada noticed, Prabhupada actually called them, especially Michael and his wife, his girlfriend, Jenny. Prabhupada told him, his name now became Mukunda Das. So he said, now you are initiated. So you can't live like boyfriend, girlfriend anymore. So you have to get married. So right after initiation, Prabhupada held the marriage ceremony. Mukunda and Janaki got married. Now generally the sannyasis don't conduct wedding. But Prabhupada did that. That is how revolutionary Prabhupada was. And not only that, Prabhupada got to know by this time that all the American youth are moving towards San Francisco. The the real seat for hippie culture, the counterculture, freak culture, was actually San Francisco. So Prabhupada told Mukunda, so you go to San Francisco and find a place like this, another storefront. So he left New York, and in the West Coast he got two of his other friends also to join him with their girlfriends. And they were Shamsundar Prabhu, Mother Malati, and Gurudas Prabhu, and Mother Jamuna. Jamuna was Janaki's sister, elder sister. So with them, actually Jamuna already came and met Srila Prabhupada when Mukunda and Janaki were getting married. So, and then these three couples started this thing in San Francisco. And I mean, we can see like how amazing history of ISKCON is. I mean, it's a clear indication that it was due to Krishna's divine arrangement that all these were happening. How many of you know how Jagannath appeared in ISKCON? How Jagannath appeared in ISKCON? How Lord Jagannath appeared in ISKCON? Okay. How many of you do not know? How many of you want to know? Okay. One day, these three couples went to a curio shop. Curio or some fancy, unusual stuff that are sold in that place. And there, they saw that there was a murti that looked very nice, very strange, and looked like Indian. So they decided to get it for Swamiji. Those days they didn't call Prabhupada Prabhupada, they used to call Prabhupada Swamiji. So they decided to get that for Swamiji. They really wanted to get it for Swamiji, but they didn't have the money. Anyway, somehow or other they got it. And they brought it to Prabhupada. Just by seeing that, Srila Prabhupada got out of his seat and offered obeisances. They were surprised what's happened. So Prabhupada asked, is there any other figures like this? They recalled, yes, there were some more. Prabhupada said, get them. So they went and they got them. And then Prabhupada told them who they were. They were Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra. Now you see how Jagannath came to ISKCON. Isn't it clear that Jagannath himself came to ISKCON? And then Shamsundar Prabhu knew how to carve on wood. So upon hearing that, Prabhupada said, can you carve this out of? And he said yes, and that's how the deities were made. Big deities were made. Those big deities were installed in the storefront in San Francisco near Golden Gate Park. Then they were worshipping them, attending Mangalarti and all that. Then one day, one afternoon when Srila Prabhupada came, he found that Jagannath is missing. Baladev and Subhadra are there, but Jagannath is missing. So Prabhupada asked, what happened? They said they took Jagannath to Golden Gate Park. Prabhupada was a little annoyed. You can't take the deities like this. So Prabhupada came to Golingit Park. And there he saw that all these devotees, they are singing and dancing around Lord Jagannath. And many, many other young boys and girls have gathered there. And also chanting with them and dancing with them. So seeing that, Prabhupada became very pleased. His heart melted. So Prabhupada said, look, you can't take out Jagannath like that. But there is a way to take out Jagannath. And then Prabhupada told how to take out Lord Jagannath in a chariot festival. So first chariot, how was it made? They got a flatbed truck. And they decorated the flatbed truck. And they put Lord Jagannath, Baladev Subhadra on that. And they didn't pull it. They drove it. So this is how the Rath Yatra festival started in San Francisco. But then the next year, it was a better arrangement. They had a chariot festival. And one very special devotee came. Jayananda Prabhu. A person very unusual. He was an engineer, but he didn't like to work as an engineer. Rather, he preferred to drive a taxi. So he was to drive taxi. And when he came across Srila Prabhupada, he surrendered himself to Srila Prabhupada. And he, because he was an engineer, he volunteered to build the Rath cart. And this Rath cart that we are seeing in ISKCON nowadays, it was actually his design. And while building the Rath cart, he used to engage anybody, like people used to become curious to see what he was doing, and he would engage them in building the Rath cart. Like I heard one devotee told me how he became a devotee. He saw Jayananda Prabhu building the Rath cart. So he was standing there and watching. So Jayananda asked him, can you help me a little? And said that you hold the nail and I'll hammer it. It'll go easier for me. So he was holding the nail and Jayananda was hammering. And he kept on praising. You're a man, you're amazing, you're really good at it. Then he said, now maybe you can start doing it yourself. And he took the hammer and he started to hammer the nails, drive the nails. And then after a while, all this while, he kept on praising him. Do it right. Or if he saw that something is wrong, he said, no, hold the nail like this. And make it straight and hit it right on the head. And hit it straight, otherwise the nail will go askew. And so after a while he said, you are doing great, man. So he said, you can carry on doing it. And then at the end of the day he said that, why don't you come tomorrow also? And in this way, just by engaging him in building Rath Yatra, Rath cart, he made him a devotee. And who knows how many devotees he made in this way, following the same tactic. So Jayananda Prabhu came, started to build Rath cart. And eventually this occasion of Rath Yatra became so popular, so famous in San Francisco that the mayor of San Francisco announced the Rath Yatra day as a holiday. So this is how the movement started to grow. Another amazing thing happened. Like as I was saying, like it was all Krishna's arrangement. When we reiterate them, we can see that these are all Krishna's arrangement. Now, after the thing is set up in San Francisco, Mukunda Maharaj, Shamsundar Prabhu, Gurudas Prabhu, along with Malati, Jamuna and Janaki, decided to go to London. So they went and met Prabhupada in Montreal. Prabhupada was in Montreal. Told Prabhupada. Prabhupada was very appreciative. He said, yeah, sure, you go. So they went. Those days, there used to be cheap flights from New York to Benelux. Either, mainly, they used to be in Luxembourg. Like something like, you know, like I remember, there used to be a flight from Luxembourg to New York round trip for $98. And so they flew to, instead of going to London, they flew to Luxembourg or Amsterdam. Now, to go from Amsterdam, you can take a ferry to London. But they found out that in order to enter into UK, although you don't need a visa, but you have to use certain amount of money. So they didn't have the money for all six of them to go together. So they, whatever they had, they collected together. And one couple went. And when they went to UK, then they wired the money back to Amsterdam. Then with that money, the second couple went. And they wired the money back, and the third couple went. So this is how they, these three couples, went to America. I'm sorry, went to UK. And when they were in UK, they didn't have any place to stay. But some Indians were very kind, and they allowed them to stay in their house. But those days, these Indians were mostly from, that they were kind of staying with, they were mostly East African immigrants. Like probably you remember, in Uganda, Idi Amin like drove the Indians out of Uganda. So they actually went and went to UK. They were, although they had a nice established businesses and things in Uganda, but now when they came to America, to England, they didn't have anything. They were quite poverty stricken, but still they were broad-minded, generous people. They were letting them stay in their house. They were very appreciative. But preaching-wise, they couldn't do very much. So one day, while they were just going by, they saw a picture of the Beatles dressed up in Indian clothes. Because the Beatles those days became influenced by Maharshi Mahesh Yogi. And so they came to India in the ashram of Mahesh Yogi to learn transcendental meditation. So they thought that it will be nice to approach the Beatles, because then if the Beatles get affected, that will be very nice. And they are already receptive to Indian culture. So then they went, they decided to go to, I mean, they were thinking of how to go to George Harrison. Then one day, Shamsundar came across this friend, acquaintance of his, who was the manager of the Grateful Dead, a musical group. His name was, anyway, I forgot his name. Yeah, that's right. Rock Skelly. So he just bumped into him, and he said that he came to kind of had a meeting with the Beatles. So he said, hey, why don't you take us to Betel? So he said, okay, you come at such and such time. I have an appointment, so you come. So Shyamasundar Prabhu went to the Apple studio, the Beatles studio. But when he went, he took a cake with him. Jamuna Mataji actually made the cake. She was famous for making cakes. Very expert in baking and cooking, as you all know. And they made an apple sign on it. And so, went there, and but at the entrance, the doorkeeper, the guard, asked him whether he had an appointment. So he tried to convince him, yes, Mike Rockskelly actually invited me, and he had, but this guy was not so impressed. He wouldn't let him go in. So right at that time, Yoko Ono, John Lennon's Japanese wife, arrived there. And seeing Shyamasundar dressed up like that, he said, hey, you must be a friend of John. So he said, yes, yes. So she said, come on in. And she took him inside and asked him to wait. And so he was just sitting there. And in the meantime, George Harrison just came out of his chamber, and when he was passing, he saw Shyamasundar Prabhu. And he walked up to him and he said, hey, where you guys all been all this while? I saw you all in San Francisco, and since then I wanted to meet you, but I couldn't find you all. I saw you chanting. And so that is how the acquaintance was made with George Harrison. George actually, he was very open, very nice. So he invited them to come to his house. So they all, six of them went and cooked a feast. And that's how the relationship started with George Harrison. And that was a major, major breakthrough for our movement. In a way, although from behind the scene, I think George Harrison has contributed the most to this movement of Srila Prabhupada. Like those days, the Beatles were the most popular personalities, you can say, in the world. And when they cut an album, My Sweet Lord, with Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the youth became impressed with that. So this is how the Hare Krishna movement began. First America, then UK, then Prabhupada sent Tamal Krishna Maharaj. When Prabhupada got the news and Prabhupada himself made George Harrison, then Prabhupada wanted Krishna consciousness to take a dynamic way. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj those days was one of the most dynamic leaders of our movement. So Prabhupada sent him to start book distribution, train devotees. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj came. Then after UK, after London, Tamal Krishna Maharaj went to Paris, Germany, spent there, and he helped this movement to grow in those areas. And so this is how this Krishna consciousness movement began to spread. And then what happened in next 7-8 years will be written in the golden letters in the history of this world. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki Gaur Premanande Hare Krishna. So maybe I'll end now. Does anybody have any question? Okay, let's see. Okay, I 3-4 questions I'll take. Okay, you have a question?
Yes,
Take the mic.
Thank you very much. You gave a very nice talk of Srila Prabhupada. But we have mentioned that what is not supposed to give the order to that disciple. So that disciple is not able to understand Srila Prabhupada, who is also successful, or they are not qualified. So that's why I need to see that.
Well, we are. It's not our position to judge them as such. But we can see that by Krishna's arrangement, Prabhupada was the personality who was meant to fulfill this prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And maybe in order to make it happen that way, it was necessary. It was necessary, whatever has happened, that Gauriamath's disintegration, Prabhupada's other godbrothers not really understanding and acting according to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's instructions, and whatever it is.
So my question is that we should not we should learn from that.
Yeah, good point. Very good point. Prabhupada did tell us, don't make the same mistake that my godbrothers made after Guru Maharaj's disappearance. That means Guru Maharaj told to manage the institution through a governing body. But they did not do that. Collectively, they didn't want to manage, but they appointed, they thought they have to appoint an acharya. And as a result of that, they faced the difficulties they did.
Maharaj, when you talk of every town or village, then understand what does it exactly mean, that will everyone become a devotee, or will everyone have a chance to become a devotee? Also we said that in 10,000 years it will be golden. And then how, like what will happen, then suddenly there will be, you know, so much drop and Ghor Kali will come along.
So much what?
Then Ghor Kali will come along.
Ghor Kali, okay, okay. Okay. Yeah. So, actually Prabhupada himself said that not that everyone will become a devotee. ISKCON is the place for the devotees. But not that everybody will become a devotee. Those who won't become a devotee, for them we need Varnashram. To structure the society, we need Varnashram. That's what Prabhupada himself said. Not that everybody will become a devotee. So that shows, not that everybody will become a devotee. But those who won't become devotees, for them we need Varnashram. So in this way, those who won't become devotees, they'll be situated in Varnashram in the Vedic culture. But those who will become devotees, for them is ISKCON. And the ISKCON will guide with the spiritual direction. Hare Krishna. Yes?
Hare Krishna. In our lives now, in this form is very stable and slowly expanding. At this stage, how should we think of our role? Like, it is not going to, you know, like, break through in a short time. How, like, what should we be thinking of our role in this form?
Yeah. That we have come to a perfect situation. Now let's try to act in a perfect way. Let's try our best to help this movement to grow. Let's try our best to spread Krishna consciousness movement. Try our best to give this wonderful benefit and gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to everybody around us. So that is our role. That let us try our best according to our ability. Some will have greater ability, some will have lesser ability. But as long as we try our best to help this mission, help this movement, that is our role. Thank you. Okay, there was a question here. Yeah. How did I? Should I leave it for this evening? Because I can say it in few words since you asked me. Okay. You see, I was searching for spiritual life. And I knew that to enter into spiritual life, I needed a spiritual master. And I was searching for a spiritual master, but I couldn't find one. But then I came across the Nectar of Devotion. And as I started to read, from the very first page it occurred to me that this is what I was looking for. And then the next night I had a dream of Srila Prabhupada. I saw Srila Prabhupada was sitting in a singhasan. Those days I didn't know what a vasasan was. Because sadhus generally sit in a simple seat. But Prabhupada was sitting like a king on a throne. And there was a brilliant light coming out of Srila Prabhupada. And just the sight made me realize that this is, finally I found my spiritual master. And then I surrendered. And then at that time Prabhupada was in America. So I decided that until Srila Prabhupada came back, I'll go to the places where Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes, Krishna performed his pastimes. And then finally when Prabhupada came back, Prabhupada went to Prayag for Kumbh Mela. And I also went. I already joined in Mayapur. And with some devotees, some lead devotees of Mayapur and devotees of Namhat. Therefore, at that time there was a group called Namhat led by Guru Kripa Swami. They were mainly preaching and collecting in Japan. There were some very powerful young Americans. So we all went to Kumbh Mela. Then all of a sudden one day Prabhupada decided to leave. And then I was told that Prabhupada would be going to Calcutta by train, and I had been also included in that group that would travel with Srila Prabhupada. And so that we boarded the train, and the train started at night. So soon after that we all took rest. Next morning when I was chanting after taking my bath, and Bhavananda Prabhu, he was a sannyasi at that time, Bhavananda Maharaj, he came and he said, come, I'll take you to Srila Prabhupada. Now Prabhupada was just one compartment away, like one first class carriage was booked for Srila Prabhupada, and we were just 14 of us traveling in that carriage. And I remember Prabhupada's, there are I think four or five compartments in one carriage. So Prabhupada's carriage, and so he was next to one after the one where I was staying. And all this while I was dying to meet Srila Prabhupada. But when finally the time came, when I could meet Srila Prabhupada, I was feeling my heart was pounding so heavily. And I was feeling totally unqualified to go near Srila Prabhupada. So Bhavananda probably could understand my feelings. So he caught me by my hand, dragged me through the corridor, and opened the door and pushed me in. And I fell flat, offering dandavat. When I got up, I saw Prabhupada was looking at me. And then Prabhupada motioned, said, "Come, sit here," asking me to sit next to him. So I said, "No, Prabhupada, I'll sit on the floor." Prabhupada insisted, "No, you sit here." So I just rolled up the blanket that was spread over the seat and sat in one corner. And then Prabhupada, after some initial exchanges, Prabhupada told me, "You translate my books into Bengali." So that service actually gave me the opportunity to come to Srila Prabhupada whenever I wanted. You see, those days, even to go near Srila Prabhupada was very difficult. Because, you know, Prabhupada was, you know, you can well imagine, Prabhupada had about 10,000 followers. And they all were dying to have a moment's association of Srila Prabhupada. I've seen devotees flying all the way from America and getting just 2-3 minutes of darshan of Srila Prabhupada. And at that time I had the opportunity to go to Srila Prabhupada anytime, and my excuse was that I have some translation to read out. So then Prabhupada gave me a stack of Bengali letters to reply. I used to read out the letters. Prabhupada used to give the points. So I used to formulate the letter and read out to Prabhupada, then final copy in Prabhupada's letterhead, then Prabhupada used to sign. So after I did the Bengali letters, Prabhupada asked me to do the Hindi letters, another stack of letters to reply. So during that time, Prabhupada actually made me his secretary for Indian affairs and asked me to move into the room next to his, which was actually his secretary's room. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was Prabhupada's secretary at that time. And both of us, I had the opportunity to be with him all the time, staying in the same room. And wherever we went to Srila Prabhupada, Tamal Krishna Maharaj and I always stayed in the same room. So I had a good fortune of being so close to him, with him all the time. And also Tamal Krishna Maharaj, when he used to come to Mayapur, he used to come and stay with me in my room. So that way we had so that is how it all started. Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanande.